We continue on tonight in our series, The Blessed Man. And as we do so, we come to Psalm 1. And this week we'll consider verses 1 and verse 2. Let's read these words again. Psalm 1, we'll read verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Dear congregation, the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 5 verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light." The Lord in the most glorious way delivers a man from darkness when he draws near in salvation. There is a deliverance. And then there is a following after Christ. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." There is not that walk in darkness, in ignorance, in unbelief, or in that way being in the bondage of sin. No. They're following the Lord. There is light before them because he is the light of the world. The believer now is following Christ. They're not perfect, but the Lord now is their new master, whom they love and whom they serve. And the Bible makes plain that such a one is blessed. Well, with this in mind, we come to verse 1 and verse 2 of this psalm, and we are presented with the blessed godly man. Now we think the blessed godly man. In contrast, in this psalm, we have the ungodly. And we just note that in verse 4 and verse 5. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. What a contrast we see in this psalm. I often used to look at these words growing up in Totten, for this psalm was in the vestibule on a display board. And I remember these words as I went in as a little child, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Now the book of praises, the Lord's hymn book, opens with a benediction. Blessed. Listen to C.H. Spurgeon. Blessed. See how the book of Psalms opens with a benediction, even as did the famous sermon of our Lord upon the Mount. The book opens with a benediction, blessed, and so did that sermon in Matthew chapter 5. Now, before we go through the book of Psalms, we need to know if we are blessed, truly blessed. And if we are, then we can read of the blessings and sing of the blessings and know that they belong to us. Now, the blessed man is first described here in the psalm by the wrong he avoids, and then secondly, by the good he delights in. You notice the contrast between verse 1 and verse 2. The blessed man is known for the things, the wrong that is avoided, but then secondly, for the good that is enjoyed. And it's those two things I'd like us to consider tonight. The Lord willing, we'll come back to this psalm in this series. It may not be next week, but someone, if the Lord spares in the future, we'll consider further the blessed man. But let's consider first of all tonight the blessed godly man, firstly, by the evil avoided, and secondly, by the good enjoyed. The evil avoided and the good enjoyed. But let's read verse 1 first of all, as we consider the evil avoided. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed! He avoids certain things, as we will consider in a moment. Now, before we go into this in detail tonight, I'd like to say, consider two things. First of all, a sinner is not made perfect when they are born again and converted. There is a new, clean heart. but there is still indwelling sin. The apostle writing to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 12 makes it plain. It's not till death the believer will know perfection. Yes, we're to strive after holiness, as we will consider in a moment, but we will battle with indwelling sin. A sinner is not made perfect when they are born again, or late rather, and as well converted. There is indwelling sin, and they can be tempted, and sadly the believer can yield to temptation. But we will consider tonight, sin is not their life, for they're no longer a servant of sin. If you go to Romans chapter 6, you'll read there of the servant of sin, but the believer has been delivered. We're not servants of sin. We're not in bondage. We're servants of the Lord. Well, when we come to verse 1, here is the description of the general character of the godly. They're not perfect, but here's the general character by the things that they avoid. One has a new life. They are a new creature in Christ. We have this new life within. We're not perfect, but we have this new life. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, we read, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, there's verse 1. Behold, all things are become new, there's verse 2 of the Psalm. A new creature in Christ. Not perfect, but we're a new creature in Christ. Now let's home in on that. In Christ. That's why the godly is not found doing the things we read of that the ungodly do in verse 1. A new creature in Christ. Christ has come through his Spirit to the soul. Yes, he's grieved by indwelling sin. But oh, we are in him. We're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Spurgeon, writing of the godly man in this psalm, wrote, although a sinner himself, he is now a blood-washed sinner, quickened by the Holy Spirit, and renewed in heart. With that in mind, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So first of all, before we look at this psalm in greater detail, a sinner is not made perfect when they are born again, but they have a clean heart within. They're a new creature. But then secondly, before we particularly note verse 1, though one is not saved by their striving after holiness, we're not saved by anything we do by our hands. We're not saved by works, are we? We're not saved by our striving after holiness, yet without holiness, one will not see the Lord in heaven. Turn with me to Hebrews 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. The Puritan John Flavel wrote this, holiness is the soul's best evidence for heaven. Holiness is the soul's best evidence for heaven. We're saved because of the grace of God, because of the precious blood of Jesus, his righteousness. But without holiness, one will not go to heaven. What does that mean? Well, as I mentioned this morning, there are those who say, well, I'm forgiven, but it doesn't matter how I live. How unscriptural that is. If you love me, keep my commandments, how we feel our failings, but out of love, our desire. There is a holy, genuine love within. There's the evidence of one striving after holiness. The true believer has Christ within in a spiritual way, and there is sanctification. One is not saved by thy striving after holiness, yet without holiness one will not see the Lord in heaven. How can an unholy man expect to go to heaven? If ye love me, keep my commandments. By their fruits they shall be known. Here is an evidence, and here is an evidence that one is truly the Lord's, saved by grace, and is blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Well, let's consider now, having said those two things, the evil avoidant. And there's three parts to this here in verse 1. Firstly, he walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Secondly, he nor standeth in the way of sinners. And then thirdly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now it's interesting as you note these things. Spurgeon writing again, mark the graduation in the first verse. There's the walking not in the counsel, nor standing in the way, nor sitting in the seat of the scornful. And as you look at that, it goes down. The last is the worst, though they are all bad, the way of ungodly men. But the godly man avoids these things. Now just note there, the downward pathway of sin. But what do we mean? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Well, firstly, he walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The Lord has given the saved man a new heart, a new mind, and a new will. And the will, through the assistance of the Holy Spirit, has new intentions and delight, as we note in verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord. The ungodly man, though he may know some help through the word, some comfort. How many have heard those words? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Some have known comfort. But there's no true delight. But the blessed man has a new will, and through the assistance of the Holy Spirit, a new intention and delight, as we note in verse 2. He walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. His mind, his heart, is for the Lord. The counsel of the ungodly, as a whole, is shunned. And why? Because the believer has a new counselor, the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember those words in Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a son is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. You see, the saved man has a new heart. The saved man has a new master, and he's the counselor. So he again and again will be found shunning the counsel of the ungodly. Having said this, one can stumble. But as we considered this morning, he comes to a straying sheep, to those that stumble. And the Master's voice is heard. And the Master's voice is obeyed again. And there is this desire not to stumble, not to sin. We don't want to sin, do we? Does anybody want to sin in the next hour? No. We mourn that we do now, don't we? We don't want to displease the Lord. We want to follow him because he's the counselor. He's our master. He gives that good advice. One does not want to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. There's a new master, you see. The Lord Jesus Christ here before us. And Psalm 119, verse 115, we read, "Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God." Depart! The ungodly come with their counsel. No. I will keep the commandments of my God. Do this, they say. Come with us in Proverbs 1. Believer is not perfect, but the believer will be found saying in their lives, "No, I'm not coming. I'm not going to listen to that counsel." You remember Moses, there was that turning point in his life, recorded for us in Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the pleasures of God than to enjoy the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You see that turning point? The Lord intervened in his life. And he wouldn't listen to the counsel of those in Egypt anymore. And he turned from the pleasures of sin. They were but for a season, so short and passing. He turned from it and he followed the Lord. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You consider Moses in Egypt. What a place he had arrived up to. What was before him. What treasures he could have known further in his life. But he followed his new master. And he turned from the pleasures of sin. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Moses, he stumbled, but he was blessed. For he turned from ungodly counsel. Remember Joseph, the counsel of Potiphar's wife, recorded for us in Genesis 39, verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master Potiphar knoweth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness, and sin against God? The counsel was, lie with me. He refused. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? It got him into trouble. But the Lord blessed him. And the Lord went before him and helped him. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The ungodly will come. You listen to me. You listen. You follow our advice. It doesn't really matter. But the godly man, no. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. But let's move to the second step down. Secondly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now, the blessed man, he doesn't do that. But you notice the progression down. Not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now, the believer is in the world, but we're not of the world, are we? Yes, we will commune with men and women of this world in the workplace, school, the college, the community, places of holiday. But we're not of the world, are we? We're in the world, we seek to be a witness, and the biggest witness we can be is not so much what we say, it's the way we conduct ourselves. And I have observed that often. People take note by the way you do something, by the things you don't say, by the way you have a compassion in your heart. And people can take note, and then an opportunity comes to speak of the Lord. We're in the world, but we're not of the world, we're in the world, we're seeking to be a witness. Now, if we consider we're in the world, but we're not of the world, the believer will not stand in the way of sinners. Yes, sadly, at times there will be a stumbling, but as a whole, they will not stand in the way of sinners. Now, notice this, we thought of the counsel. Is the advice no, says the believer. But then we come a step down, standeth in the way of sinners. He doesn't do that. There's the way of sinners he shuns. The way, the manner, the journey of sinners. Now, if you notice it particularly, we're thinking of particular sinners. John Gill writes this on Psalm 1 verse 1. He intends notorious sinners. Not in the counsel of the ungodly, we think as ungodly men as a whole. Let me particularly focus on sinners, and particularly the writers speak of notorious sinners. We think in the New Testament of certain ones. She was a sinner, all are sinners, aren't we? But particularly noted, and often in the New Testament it is in light of that which is done in breaking the seventh commandment. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Notorious sinners. What do we read in the seventh commandment? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Yet there are certain ones out there who will say, come, let's do these things. Such immorality is known in our land. And dear young people and dear children, we pray for you. Your pastor prays for you, because it's not easy, is it, growing up today? It wasn't easy in my day, not so many years ago, but it's even harder today. Things that were not talked of much in my day are now praised as being right and good. There's much done in view of breaking the seventh commandment. The godly man does not want to go that way, nor standeth in the way of sinners. He's not standing there, going down that way, or about to go down that way. He's not there listening. He doesn't want to go the way, the journey of such notorious sinners. He does not want to go into places to engage in such immoral activity. You consider sadly what some have done. Turn with me to Proverbs 7. Proverbs 7, verse 8 and verse 9. And some of the old preachers link us to these words from Psalm 1, verse 1. Proverbs 7, verse 8 through to verse 9. And we'll consider the way of sinners. The focus there is on the way of sinners. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. You notice that there? The way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. The way to her house. What a dangerous way it was. What a path. He was wanting to see. There was lust in his eyes. He wanted to look, and she was lying in wait. That's the way of sinners. We particularly focus on in verse 1, nor standeth in the way of sinners. There's sinners out there who want people to engage in such immoral things, whether it be with ladies or with men. The godly desires to keep a distance from such a way that leads to such places of sin. Or there is great danger when one stops in the way of sinners. You see the danger when you stop in the way of sinners. You're in that way. You're considering. You're wanting. There's great danger. Such a way needs to be avoided and the heart kept. Turn with me to Proverbs 4, verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away. You see, notorious sinners engaged in immorality. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. There's the way. Yet there are those in this world who are drawn. Oh, for just a little look. Oh, just to go a little way down that way. There's danger. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. And then what do we read in Proverbs 4, verse 23? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart. Now the believer may stumble, but the believer will shun the way of sinners. They will not go off and go down that pathway. That's what the psalm says. Verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. They will not listen to the advice of the ungodly, the counsel, nor stand in the way of sinners. Just think of the downward steps here. The ungodly, they counsel in many ways. Do not do this. Do not trust the word. But then there's certain ones, they give counsel. Come with us. Come with us into the dark places, in the way of sinners. And it's happening. Sadly, this night in the great cities of our land, there is the way of sinners and men and women are standing in that way, and they're going down that pathway. How solemn it is. Are you not thankful you're a new creature in Christ? Yes, we have indwelling sin, but we're a new creature in Christ. And he's the counselor. No wonder we read he is wonderful. Or you consider the men of this world, they're not wonderful. When they encouraged us to sin, Christ is wonderful, and what counsel he gives is so good for the soul. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. But there's one more step down in this verse. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I remember in Sunday school years ago in Totten learning these things. There's the counsel that walketh not in the counsel. There's the standing not, and there's the sitting not. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The godly man will not sit down with the ungodly in their wickedness and live their lives with them and mock and scoff at God. Yes, we're in the world. And we're to be a light and a good witness in the world. But we do not sit down in wickedness. Do you understand that? Sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. The way of sinners. Come down this way. And certain ones go that way. And they sit down in wickedness amongst ungodly men and women. And they scoff at God's word. You see, when great sin is committed, there's great scoffing against God. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The godly will not scoff at the gospel, at eternity and hell. The godly will not scoff at the law of God. We grieve when we break God's law, but we won't scoff, will we? How thankful the believer is. The Lord has opened their heart and put a godly fear within. The believer says with Paul, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. He's thankful. He doesn't sit down and scoff God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not walking, having received counsel from the ungodly. He's not standing in that way of sinners. In the way of immorality, he will not sit down in darkness of unbelief and scoff God. That's not the believer, is it? The believer's not perfect, but we're not describing the believer in the sin in verse 1, but we are describing the believer who shuns evil in verse 1. Matthew Henry, writing of the last of the three here, happy is the man that never sits in it. Happy is the man that never sits in it. The evil is avoided. The blessed man, through the grace of God, evil is avoided in order that good may be enjoyed. And we move to a close now, and we'll just briefly consider the good that is enjoyed. And some of the Puritans and the writers bring this out. Without the evil being avoided, the good will never be enjoyed. There's a connection, isn't there? One says no, that they, through the grace of God, might receive and know the good. The good enjoyed in closing, Psalm 1 verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Just notice this word, but. One is a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's his delight. What a contrast. It's different, isn't it? I say again, the believer has a new heart and a new will. And there's a delighting in the word of God. There's pleasure now found in reading, meditating upon the word. There was such a pleasure in sin, but now there's a great delight in the word. Joy arises in the soul. One can have low thoughts, but the word can so help. One can be fearful, but joy arises through the comfort of the word. Oh, what a contrast. Evil is avoided, but good is enjoyed. Evil is shunned. God's word is loved. That's the believer, isn't it? If ye love me, keep my commandments. And we do love the Lord. We fail him, but our heart's desire is to love him. I will love the Lord, says the psalmist, Psalm 18. With Peter we say to the Lord, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. There's love to the Lord, there's a delight in him and his word. The book is loved, and the book brings us joy. Sin brings a sinful joy which passes, but this heavenly book brings a heavenly joy that is known again and again. Does sin really bring you joy? We think of verse 1 again. The blessed man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Listening to ungodly, taking their advice, does it bring joy? No. Going in the way of notorious sinners, does that bring joy? No. Sitting in the seat of the scornful, sitting down with men in wickedness, men and ladies in wickedness, does that bring joy? No, but the word of God brings joy. What a joy it is to read of my Saviour and to hear from his lips through his word. Well, let's just close then. Time has gone already. Just think of the joy, the good that is enjoyed. We think of the word here. It's a treasure to our souls. It's food to our souls. And it's enjoyed, isn't it? First of all, we read of God's salvation. Oh, how blessed we are to read of him and his salvation. How he has helped us through Christ. That brings joy to the soul. And how he delivers us in affliction. Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them. Oh, is that not a joy? You are going to be delivered from all your trials. Psalm 50, verse 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee. There's the promise. It may be the fourth watch in the night, as we will consider next week, but deliverance comes, and we will glorify God. But let's glorify him now, that deliverance is coming. There's joy to be known. What do we read in Habakkuk 3, verse 18? Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labour of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. There's so little, yet there's a looking up to the Lord. There is joy to be known in deliverance. Secondly, the Lord brings a word of comfort and delight arises. Psalm 94, verse 19, in the multitudes of my faults within me, thy comfort delight my soul. We can have many faults going around the mind, can't we? Maybe in a situation there's many faults. And those faults can weigh us down. And those faults can be a burden to us. We don't want them to be, but they end up being a burden sometimes. But then the Holy Spirit comes and we're reading and the word is applied, a word of comfort. In the multitude of my faults within me, thy comfort delight my soul. It brings delight. God is the God of all comfort, as we read of in the New Testament in Corinthians. And we find comfort through his word. One of old wrote this, God is the God of all comfort, and his comforts are fetched through his word. But his delight is in the Lord the Lord. Does the ungodly man know comfort in affliction when they go down the way of sinners? No. We who love the Lord, when we sin, that doesn't bring us comfort, does it? And sometimes we need to pray, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. But in the word, looking to the Lord, oh, we can find comfort and delight. Further in this book, we read of the providence of God, and that can bring us delight. Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We know that all things, even the difficult things, God is in control. The things we don't understand, the dark and mysterious providences, yet God is in control. And just to know, God is in control. That his providence over us is over us in a special way that can bring delight. And with the psalmist we can say in Psalm 57, I will cry unto the Lord who performeth all things for me. When you're in straits and trouble, the reading of God's providence in the word can calm your soul, and peace can then circulate within. Psalm 138, and verse 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endure forever. He will, because of his most holy and wise providence. And then fourthly and finally, as we think of the good enjoyed and the delight we know through the word, we read of Jesus in this book. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. We read of him. We were on the way to destruction. We were found listening to the counsel of the ungodly. Some were found in the way of notorious sinners. Some sat in the seat of the scornful, mocking God. But there's the hearing of Jesus, and the believer finds his delight in him who saved them from such a pathway. Oh, look to him. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. He reads of Jesus. And that's one of the reasons we keep going back to this book. Yes, it is that we might be shown the way, that we might be helped in difficult providences, but is it not chiefly that we might read of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ? We find delight. We look by faith on him in the word, and we find and discover he's altogether lovely. And he is, isn't he? Altogether lovely. The ungodly man doesn't find that to be so. Standing in the way of sinners, engaging in immorality. The ungodly man does not find that to be so. Listening to the counsel of others who he is with. The ungodly man who sits in the seat of the scornful does not find that to be so, because they're scorning Jesus. But when one is a new creature in Christ, they find him to be altogether lovely. And they mourn over their sin. They will seek to avoid and shun sin. They desire to know more of him. In the Song of Solomon 3, verse 4, it was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I brought him unto my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. There's this fresh discovery of the Lord in the believer's life. There's been a little distance as they have strayed in the pathway of sin. But oh, the Lord has been that faithful shepherd and restored. And they had a glimpse of him. I held him and would not let him go. You think of a little child, maybe a little daughter. She's got lost for a little while. Not really lost, but just lost a little bit. She's strayed. She's been looking at other things. And then she begins to panic. Where's my father? And then he comes around the corner. And the little girl runs towards her father and holds her father, her beloved father. And there's peace and joy within. I held him and would not let him go. And we hold Christ spiritually in the arms of faith as we come to the word and find these discoveries of him. The good and joy, because we find Christ is held near. I held him and would not let him go. I don't want to stray from him. I don't want to do anything that displeases him. That's what you're saying when you're holding him, aren't you? That's what I say. We read of him and how he helps us, how he comforts us. He's the friend that's to get closer than the brother, Proverbs 18, verse 24. Such a friend he is. You remember that son who wrote to his mother who was going through great difficulty? What a friend we have in Jesus. Mm. And he is, this is my friend, this is my beloved. Song of Solomon 5, verse 16, my friend. And we discover him again and again through this word. Oh, how unhappy is the man that goes on in the pathway of sinners. How blessed we are. We've been delivered. Yes, we're not perfect, but we've been delivered. And we have discovered through grace a precious Saviour. We have found him, we read of in John 1. Through grace we find him, he having found us first. And there are times when we hold him and we delight in him and we prove him to be that friend that's to give closer than a brother. What delight we have known when we think of Jesus being our friend. His mouth is almost sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. There's a delight in the word, the good is in joy, and there's a meditation. To ponder, to talk, to speak. One thinks upon the word, and they talk of the word in their own mind. And they talk of Jesus. They're found meditating upon him. They meditate on him, and they meditate on the word as a whole. They are thankful for the help and the comfort and the strength. They are thankful that the word shows them the right way. But most of all, the believer is thankful that the word points them to Jesus. So not only do they read, but they're found meditating on him. The good is enjoyed. By the blessed man. It's all of grace, isn't it? Left to ourselves, we'd be listening to the counsel of the ungodly. Left to ourselves, some of us may be going, standing in the way of sinners, committing such immorality. Left to ourselves, we could be sitting in the seat of the scornful, mocking God. But grace came, grace saved, and now we have a new delight, most of all in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find a delight reading again and again of him. If you, through the grace of God, are avoiding sin, though we are not perfect, and you love the good, the Bible says you're blessed. And you're blessed indeed. Amen. Amen. O gracious God, we come to thee. Lord, we are thankful for thy grace, for we have read there of that downward pathway of sin. And left to ourselves, we could have slipped so quickly, and still we would be going down that pathway. Oh, we confess, we battle with indwelling sin, but we're not in bondage now. We have been set free. Satan, sin is not our master. We have a counsellor, our Saviour. Lord, to read more of him, to delight more often in him. Oh, Lord, help us as we walk in this world. Help us to know much more good, and may it be enjoyed in our soul. And help us, we pray. Help us to battle with our sin, to say no to temptation. And if we fall into temptation, deliver us quickly, is our plea. Hear us, O Lord. Help us, we pray. How can we thank thee enough that we are blessed in the gospel, blessed through grace, blessed through Christ. Help us to live this week, being thankful for the gospel. Hear our prayer for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
We We turn to our final praise, Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 4, and then verses 7 to 8. I waited for the Lord my God, and patiently did bear. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to hear. Psalm 40, we're singing verses 1 to 4, and then verses 7 to 8. And in light of Hebrews chapter 10 particularly, we're led to consider the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, his first coming. And to the Lord these were my words, I come, behold, and see. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 4, and then verses 7 to 8, and the tune is Dunn's Lamps Creek.
I waited for the
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen. Amen.